Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Let's talk about success. Let's talk about extreme talent. Let's talk about education. With me now is one of the great coaches of our time, University of Kentucky, men's basketball coach John Calipari. This will not just be about sports, but Kentucky, for those of you who don't know, is a perennial powerhouse under Coach Calipari's leadership. They won the national championship in 2012. He's been to the Final Four six times in his career. He coached at several other schools before Kentucky. And as some of you in our area know, he coached the Nets for a few years too, but then went back to college coaching. John Calipari has a new book called Success is the Only Option, The Art of Coaching Extreme Talent. Coach, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
I appreciate it. Did you tell him I got fired by the New Jersey Nets?
Oh, I don't even know that story. Why'd you get fired?
Didn't win enough games. I got fired and then went back because of that. But that's I had fun there, I'll be honest with you. And I'll tell you this, coaching in the NBA made me a better basketball coach for the players that I coach now.
How different is it to coach grown-up professionals than to coach 18 years and a little older college students?
It's different, and it's different in a sense that what you said, you're dealing with a 17, 18-year-old that you're trying to mold so that when they become an NBA player, they can have success. The kids that, from us who have gone on, it's not just getting them here, and we talk about it in the book, to recruit them, to have them want to be together, to teach them how to sacrifice for each other, to teach them with all the good stuff happening, how do you stay involved in the community? How do you understand a curious mind, a guy that's going to be curious and really be a guy that wants to learn and is a lifetime learner ends up being the best basketball player? How do you convince them of all that stuff? And we go through a bunch of it in the book.
Yeah, and I was actually going to start with the last chapter of the book, which I read, called My Purpose, in which you say you've gone from the business of basketball to the business of helping families. And that is quite a thing for a coach who wins so much and is so competitive to write about. Can you talk about that evolution? Was it an evolution?
Yeah, it was. And you got to start, for all of us, when we're young, you're trying to survive. You're trying to make it. You're trying to establish who you are. It's hard to be a giver when you really don't have enough to eat. That's the process you go through. And then all of a sudden you start figuring out, man, life is easier when I make it about everybody else. For me, in 2010, when five players were drafted in the first round off of my team, never happened before, has never happened since in the NBA. I looked around and I said, what just happened? And I was in that green room with those families. And I saw families, not all of them, but a bunch of them, with generational poverty, now going to be able to strike out to reach the American dream for their family, not only their family, but their family going forward. By doing it, and people say, well, doesn't care about winning. Well, we've won more games in the last 7 years than any program, been to more Final Fours, won the national title, SEC championships more than anybody else. So it's not true. But when you make it about them, they know you have their back. They'll be about each other. But someone's going to have their back. Either they'll have their own back or someone will have their back, which means they can let loose and be about everybody else.
Do the missions of helping families and winning basketball games ever get in each other's way?
What's funny is when we lost eight guys off the first team, we went to the Elite Eight that year and lost shooting 0-for-20 from the three-point line. And everybody was disappointed. And I made a statement, this may be one of the biggest years in Kentucky history. And people got mad because we did not win the national title. But it changed the whole perception. It changed the whole dynamic of college basketball, not only Kentucky. The next year we brought in four new players. we went to the Final Four. The next year, we started three freshmen along with some returning players and won a national title. So what it proves that you can change your team and still win, and it doesn't hurt the university. Now let me say this. We've had 14 guys graduate, Ryan, in 7 years. Three will graduate off this team. Three of the 17 who graduated did it in 3 years. Mm. Every player that comes in has a lifetime scholarship. So if you do leave after a year or two, your scholarship doesn't leave you. You leave in good academic standing. You can come back whenever you choose to finish your degree. I'm not trying to – look, the other way of, well, they have to go 4 years. Well, the way that universities are going right now, kids have to stop and go earn money to finish. Sometimes it takes them 7 years.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't my players be able to go and chase their dream and come back when they choose to come back? And that's what we're doing right now. So I'm proud of the kids academically. Let me throw one other thing. You know, I was just on a conversation with somebody about it isn't just basketball here. I've got a short time to teach them and talk to them about life going forward. They're going to be in a man's world in 8 months. Not all of them, but the ones that are leaving us. How do you give back to society? How do you truly create joy in your life? How do you become happy? Because you're grateful every night of all the good stuff that's happening for you. When you look back right now, John Wall won the Community Assist Award in the NBA, the highest award they give for community involvement and charity work. The runner-up was Anthony Davis, both my guys. Another top 10 finisher was DeMarcus Cousins, another one of my guys. Mm-hmm. So it's not just basketball that we're teaching. And we talk about that in the book. Extreme talent wants more than just work. And it's not about ego, it's their aspirations. And extreme talent wants to be together. But when they're together, it's now we're not working against each other. We're working for each other. Maybe we all give up a little bit, but we all gain so much more by being together.
To that title of your book, coaching extreme talent. Is it different to coach people with extreme talent, since you use that phrase, than it is to coach people who are maybe very talented but not in the extreme?
Well, you know, I've been blessed. And again, we've had 28 draft picks in 7 years. We've had 21 lottery picks. We've had the number one pick four different times. So when I say extreme, I'm saying extreme talent. But if they're extreme talented players, they're comfortable in their skin. In other words, you don't have to tell me I'm shooting all the balls. You don't have to tell me how many minutes I'm playing or if I'm starting or not. I'm comfortable in my skin. I want to know, do you have other really good players so that I get competition every day? I tell these kids that we recruit, if you walk in the gym and you're the best talent by far, you're in the wrong gym. You want to walk in a gym where you look around and say, oh my goodness, look at all this talent. That's how you challenge yourself to get better. That's how you figure out ways when you get knocked down, like we just did against UCLA. How do you bounce back from that? At home, we don't lose at home. Well, we did, and they not only beat us, UCLA beat us good. I'm walking in a film session today with probably four or five kids that'll be in this draft and having to talk to them about my vision of us when we look our best. So we have video of us offensively passing the ball, mm-hmm. which we didn't do against UCLA. We have us defensively swarming, active, high energy, physical play, which we didn't do against UCLA. Telling them, this is what it looks like. This is what we're chasing. We're chasing greatness. Let's go for this. So it's not beating them down. They got the talent. They need the direction, and what they want is to be coached. You know what else they want? Tell me the truth. Don't BS me. Keep it real. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about those things. I mean, I coached in the NBA. I did get fired, but I coached in the NBA, and I'm not afraid to coach players that are talented. I've done it. And so what I say to these kids, again, you be about each other. We'll be about you.
We got about 3 minutes left. Let me ask you about a couple of issues. This is out of left field, but we cover the post-election climate a lot on this show. I'm just curious if you've seen it at all on your team or at your school, like with many people of color, for example, being horrified at what the election of Donald Trump might mean for them. I'm hearing from people on different college campuses. From your vantage point as head coach at Kentucky, do you see any of it?
Well, you know, I think, again, what we need to be looking to do is how do we come together? How do we, as a country, look at each person as our brother, regardless of race, regardless of religion? And my hope is President-elect Trump puts a cabinet together that throw independents, Democrats, women, throw them all in there. At the end of the day, his compass is going to be the one we go by anyway, but why not throw all these ideas out there? And I'm hoping that's, as we go forward, that's the case. Differing views, a rival kind of cabinet, that because I'm not, you know, in my lifetime, I'm looking at this election, and it was a divisive election, maybe more so than ever. So it'll be about bringing people together before we can move forward. Because if we don't come together, we're not moving forward. It isn't happening. And yeah. I'll say it again, he will be the moral compass. And you and I know decisions won't be made that don't go through his desk. They just won't. So whoever makes recommendations, and maybe they don't agree, who cares? You're still going to make the decisions of what we're going to do and where this country's going. And so, you know, my hope is that he – and I think he's taken that tone in a lot of different ways of, look, you know, enough of this, you know, I'm going to have success at somebody else's expense. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And it doesn't on a basketball court. You can't have success at someone else's expense. You have success because we all are sharing and we all are giving up a little bit. We're all being wrong at times so someone else can be right.
And we've just got 30 seconds left, but have you had to bring that into your coaching at all? Have you had to deal with people's emotions on the team over the election?
No, but we talk about race issues a ton, and I bring them right to the forefront. We talk about if you're approached by a policeman, how you act, how you respond. We bring in people that talk about it. We talk about because you have a Kentucky uniform on, you may be treated different. But that doesn't mean there's not issues that you're going to have to deal with at some point and at some level.
Coach,
so, no, we do deal with it.
Coach John Calipari, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. The book is called Success is the Only Option, The Art of Coaching Extreme Talent.